Welcome to Business Smarts Radio with Tom and Dr. Dave, the clean approach to building your successful business. Now, let's introduce Tom Borg and Dr. Dave Miles. Welcome to Business Smarts Radio with Tom and Dr. Dave, where we bring you the clean approach to building your successful business. When I mean clean, we are not talking about spick and span and dust mops. This podcast is all about the acronym CLEAN. We're all about communication, leadership, engagement.
And no drama.
And no drama. Absolutely. We get enough of that as it is. So our topic today for this episode of Business Smarts Radio is, do you have the right people in the wrong positions on your team? Do you have the right people, but in the wrong positions on your team? So Tom, what are some things that you can, we were talking about this beforehand, and we get given an example of just imagining that a Major League Baseball team, yeah. And you, it was funny how you gave some of the, threw out some numbers. We told, what if you had like six shortstops and a couple first basemen, a few second, third basemen,
absolutely.
All catchers and nine outfielders, and then one pitcher.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about that.
That's it.
A great point to get us started on, Dave. Imagine if you had a baseball team and you didn't really look at the type of players you had on the team, but you ended up having one pitcher, you had six shortstops, you had four left fielders. So what we're saying, you had a huge imbalance. And, well, obviously you couldn't go through a whole season that way because you need more than one pitcher. Heck, every day you need a new pitcher. But fact is, many companies will try to run their operation just that way. They'll have the wrong people in the wrong places. In other words, say, well, we got these extra infielders. Let's just move them over to pitcher. Well, that's not such a good idea because he's an infielder or she's an infielder. They're not going to do that good at pitching. Yeah. But yet many companies actually approach business that way where they say, well, we'll just do what we can with the people we have. And when we do our assessments with these clients, we can see there's these huge gaps in basic areas on that instrument that we're using with these individual companies. So that's a kind of a tip off that they need to do a better job of finding, attracting, and keeping the right kind of people that keep a balanced team. So that's where we're going with this today, a balanced team.
Well, and I think it's funny how you mentioned it that, okay, well, you've got four left fielders and you've got, say, like a one first baseman, and first baseman's out. All right, well, let's just take this left fielder and put him at first base.
Yeah.
They'll do okay. They'll figure it out. I mean, maybe they will, maybe they won't. I mean, they know how to use a glove. They know how to catch, but it's playing first base is completely different than being a full-time outfielder.
Think of that as being a specialist. The person's a specialist at first base.
Exactly. And you have somebody that's not good at that, and they're trying to figure it out, and they're same thing. They are just not built for that position, for example. Think of somebody with bad knees and putting them in as a catcher. Okay, probably not the best. You know, maybe they're a good runner, they're fine upright, but they just can't squat for that amount of time. You know, they're just not built for that.
Exactly.
So, no, I think it's funny because, I mean, we do. I mean, you got to think for the long term, too. I mean, you know, you've got 160-some games in a baseball season. I mean, that's just one season. Mm-hmm. We're talking about how many years are a company operating up and going. I mean, that's
right.
That thing for the long haul. And the worst part is the company may be in for the long haul, but how long is that person going to stay with you? Mm-hmm. When you're like, man, I'm a left fielder, but you keep me at first base. And I'm just, this is not my strength. It's not my comfort zone. This is not where I'm good at. I don't like first base. Well, tough. You just got to stay at first base. Well, you know what? I'll go to another team.
That's right. And that's what it is in our businesses. People say they're not happy with what they're doing. They'll look for another company and off they go. And you have turnover.
Right. And that's the bad part about it is that I think because it's not really included in the typical GAAP accounting procedures that your CFO is not going to tell you, hey, this is how much, you know, over the course of this year, your turnover cost you.
Exactly.
And putting them on the wrong spots on the team is not, they're not going to tell you, okay, here was your decrease in overall productivity because of your employee engagement levels were lower than they could have been because you had the right people, but in the wrong positions.
Exactly. Exactly.
So without being able to see those hard numbers sometimes, it's honestly, with everything being so busy, it's tough to make those kind of.
So, Dave, what can our listeners do? What can we suggest to them that they might be able to take a look at and improve their businesses?
Well, for that end of it, I mean, one of the things I would try to do is just find an inventory of your team. I mean, if you just look at it, educate yourself on a lot of it. Everybody acts the same. They have different drivers and different motivators. They have different behaviors.
Emotional quotient.
Yeah, well, the emotional intelligence, that type of thing. So there's all kinds of different tools and things out there. But I would kind of first start off with just educating yourself about the different things that are out there. What are the different things that motivate people? What are the different things that their different behavioral styles? And I mean, just looking at it from like a huge 30,000 foot big picture type of thing. I mean, if you look at just in general, folks that are maybe more task oriented than people oriented, maybe some that are faster paced, slower paced, it really kind of breaks down into four behavioral style categories. And this is like huge big picture. I mean, it breaks down even further than this, but even just looking at that, you can really break down those categories into four parts of it. And I guess a good way to look at it is with these four that we're getting ready to talk about, everybody is a combination of these four in some degree, but sometimes you may have one that just kind of good or bad rears its ugly head a little bit more than the others, or a little bit more prominent than others, or you have a couple that are more of a mix. But if you look at the kind of, what is their kind of like their dominance factor, you know, what, and if you think about that as someone who's in broad brush terms, you can see someone that's forceful, who's direct, who's the three bullet points, get to the point, you know, results oriented, they're go, 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 fast, real task oriented, fast paced type person. Those, that really kind of measures from a behavioral standpoint how you respond to problems and challenges, you know, kind of that dominance factor. And then if you look at the, say, like an influence factor, you know, big picture again, you know, if you think of someone who's maybe optimistic, very talkative, very fun, very kind of outgoing, the corporate people person. Could be extrovert. And you look at more of the fast paced, but really people oriented type. That's really looking at, and that kind of behavioral style category really measures how people influence others to your way of thinking.
That's right.
And you have different styles of different ways of doing that.
That's right. And the two types of behavioral styles you mentioned so far, we need them. We need a balance of these people on our team. How about the other two styles?
Well, and like I said, you're talking, those two are really, you're in your fast-paced category. One being task-oriented primarily, one being people-oriented primarily. You know, it's all a matter of degrees.
That's right.
But if you look at, switch around for the fast pace and go to the other end of the spectrum for the slow pace, you look at the person who's high in, say, steadiness in that kind of category. And it's really, if you look at somebody who's really steady, who's patient, who's relaxed, who really contemplates things before they say, they don't just come up with an answer. You got to give them a little bit of time to think, but when they do and they give you an answer, it's a very well thought out answer. But you can't just.
And they're good with people.
Measuring. Oh, yeah. And just
more good
how you respond to the pace of your environment. That's all. It's just simply a measurement of, okay, that, all right, that behavioral trait is basically how you're responding to the pace. Easy enough. And then the last one, that's more people oriented and slower pace, where the last one we look at is more of a fast pace, a slow pace, but task oriented.
Yes.
Very analytical, very precise, very detail oriented. Wants to know the research, wants to know the facts.
Good finance person.
Right. So, and that's measured in a term we call compliance, and it's not compliance in a authoritative way. That's just how you respond, good, bad, or indifferent to the rules and regulations that are set out by others. So some examples, you know, you would think like your accountants, engineers, you know, that type of very highly analytical, very left brain type of
detail oriented,
very detail oriented, because that they love that, but they sometimes they will gravitate to jobs that are good for that. If you take somebody who's a very detail oriented person and you put them in a very people-oriented social environment where they're not dealing with details, they're not dealing with numbers, they're not dealing with the things that they're comfortable with, they can adapt to that, absolutely. Most people can, but is that really their strength? Is that where they're best at?
And the more they have to adapt, Dave, as we know, is the more stress they're going to have on the job. So if they're not really suited for that position, yes, they can adapt, But the more they adapt, the more stress they're going to incur. So that's important to remember that.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up because, like I said, we talked about before this. Yeah, everybody's a combination of those types of styles. And I would encourage all the listeners to learn more about them. I mean, do your own research, look at in different behavioral styles.
There's a lot of good assessments out there. We happen to handle a couple that we think are very good as well. But go ahead.
You know, and there's a lot of literature on it out there to just educate yourself on it. And that's where the first step I would talk to people is just educate yourself on the different types of behavioral styles that are out there. Mm-hmm. But you made something that I remembered an analogy somebody used that I thought was amazing. And let's just say you're looking at two people in a job because the topic we're talking about, having the right people in the wrong positions on your team. Okay. So say you're in a helicopter and I'm looking down on the highway and mm-hmm. I see two red cars. Okay, and they're going on the highway, 65 miles an hour, two red cars right beside each other doing 65 miles an hour.
Yeah.
If I'm in a helicopter looking down, do I see any difference?
No. No. Same from that.
That's what they're doing. It's two red cars that are both on a highway.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, if you get two people
mm-hmm.
on the highway, okay, doing doing the same job, performing the same, okay, which is they're going 65 miles an hour. So I'm thinking, great, life is good. I'm mm-hmm. happy, okay? But what happens when you get a little bit closer and you notice that one of those red cars is a VW Bug, one of those cars is a Porsche?
Oh, yeah.
Your VW Bug, maybe from the 50s or 60s, you know, one of the old model VW Bugs, it is giving it everything it's got, brother, to get up to keep it maintaining 65 miles an hour. It is just working it to do it. And yeah, that's an example of someone who's really adapting. They're mm-hmm. doing the job, but my God, think of the stress on that little engine, man. And them little hamsters are just getting it, trying to keep that VW Bug going. Can't do it forever. Nope. But what about the Porsche? Mm-hmm. It didn't even get started at 65 miles an hour. I mean, that engine's just purring.
Mm-hmm.
Funny thing is, both from the same company.
That's right.
But I mean, just think of that analogy. Mm-hmm. One isn't even getting started. They're just, this is nothing, right? I'm just trucking along and I've got so much more potential to give. The other one is just working themselves into an early grave.
That's right.
But from that helicopter, what do you see?
Same two cars, same speed. Two
cars,
same color.
Two people doing the same job with the same performance.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look peek under the hood, it ain't the same. And that's what we're talking about here is making those adaptations, taking your left fielder and put them into first base.
They
could play, but you know, the career first baseman isn't even getting started. And that left fielder is struggling to keep up.
Yeah, and Dave, that's the key we're talking about here today. So as our listeners think about the team they have put together, either by default or by purposeful selection, it's important to realize who your players are, what their strengths are they in the right position? And what can you do to make sure you can align them with the right positions? We're not saying to get rid of them, but find the right place for them or help them get the additional training that they need to do even better at what they've been chosen to do. So it's a combination of all those things that will make for, I think, a winning formula.
No, I would agree with that 100%. So you had a couple of examples of some clients that you'd work with, and I wonder if you could share those with the listeners. Sure. I thought they were pretty good.
Yep. Yeah, one company I was working with, major company, they had a CIO. She was very, very good. She was efficient. She was very sharp. One challenge she had, she could not communicate very well. She could not articulate. There was a second, English was a second language for her. So that created some issues in terms of pronunciation of words, and people many times would kind of like nod their head but not really understand what she was saying. Now, on the other end, I've seen CEOs of company who could speak fluent English, but the way they thought and the way they articulated their thoughts, people would sit there and go, what did he mean by that? Of course, they weren't going to question him because he was the man in charge. He had kind of a short temper to begin with. So that's another form of articulation that doesn't come across. I mean, sometimes people that run a company, they're thinking miles ahead of what their team is thinking, and they don't do a good job of actually communicating in a way that their team members understand. And if they don't understand, chances are they're not going to get the message in order to do the job the way they're supposed to. So that's one example.
No, I would definitely, that's a great example, because here's the thing is, in some ways, for a leader, and I'll change this from a communication behavior type of thing to more of a leadership end of it. And one end of it, if you're for a strong leader, especially at more of the top end of the organization, you really need to be able to kind of get above the trees, and you need to be able to see, you know, beyond where everybody else is seeing, and you need to see, you know, sooner than everybody else is seeing. So you need to see it before, and you need to see more, as John Maxwell would say. I mean, so which is, that's a trait of leaders. The problem is you have to be able to come down off the ladder where you're peeking above the forest canopy.
That's right.
And be able to get back down where the troops are and be able to communicate what you've seen and say, hey, this is where we're going and why.
Mm-hmm.
Give them that sense of purpose and be able to kind of lead them in the right direction where they can buy into what you've seen. They can buy into that purpose, because if not, it's just a simple edict or a dictate at that point.
That's
so
right. That's
because I said so. Well,
And the other thing is, we mentioned this before in a previous podcast, you don't have to be the smartest person in the room. So when you come down off that palm tree or wherever you're sitting and come back down with this great vision or idea, you've got to be able to listen to what your people are going to give you back in terms of feedback. Now, if you've built a good team and they trust you, that you're not going to chop them off the knees when you say something that you don't agree with, well, that's the key. You got to be able to have the ability to get back down off that palm tree, communicate with them, get their feedback. Because you know what? They might be seeing things that you're not seeing. And that could be critical to the success of that idea moving forward. So you have to be able to come on down, listen, and be open-minded. And hey, guess what? Be willing to change your mind. Because remember, you're not the smartest person in the room, especially when everyone else is in the room with you together.
Right. I love the phrase that I think it was Ken Blanchard that talked about, that one of us is never as smart as all of us.
That's right.
And you might have some, from experience, you might have some great initial ideas, and you may be able to kind of rise above that and say, oh, here are the future trends. Here's where the industry's going. Here's where we need to be in 5 years or else. So you might see that, okay, I saw where we need to be or where we're going or what could potentially happen. Now it's the more that, now how do you think we're going to be able to get there? So you take that snapshot of what you've seen or what you're kind of envisioning, lay it out there and say, all right, guys, how are we going to get there? And then let the ideas really flow. Right. And when you don't have a good, solid, diverse group of people on your team that are bringing different viewpoints from different, say you have a every single person, we'll go back to say, for example, for the behavioral traits, if everybody communicates exactly the same and everybody responds exactly the same, at some point you aren't looking at it from a different perspective. You're not thinking about it in a different way. And then it's kind of bouncing back and forth between the communication and the leadership end of it. If you don't have, it's easy as a leader to want to have everybody around you that it's comfortable because they're just like you. They think like you. They talk like you. Well, guess what?
They agree with you all the time.
They agree with you all the time. Exactly. That's where I was going with that. Problem is, you end up with groupthink, and that's what blew up the space shuttle.
That's right.
And nobody was willing to say, no, this is not a good idea. Because if you are a leader or you're in that position, because you can be in a position and not really be a leader, but that's a whole different story for a whole different podcast. But if you are but if you're in that position, and every time somebody comes up with a good thought or a good idea or a different way of looking at it that you may not agree with, and you cut them off of the knees every time, guess what? At some point, just practicality, man, we got bills to pay, right? You got a roof over your head, kids' braces, 3 squares a day. You're like, at some point, is this the hill worth dying on?
That's right.
No, and you know what? He wants to be, or she wants to be the smartest person in the room. Let him. My paycheck's still clearing, and that's what you end up getting.
That's right.
The problem is they're good people that have great ideas that want to really help and move things forward. But at some point, if you continue to be that leader that just beats them down, they're like, okay, well, yeah, whatever you say, boss, you're right. You're good. And you're
no way to grow a company.
Those are the things that over time kill an organization.
That's right. Well, I guess if we're to wrap things up here, for our listeners here today, I guess a couple of things we want to start with is that make sure you have the right team, make sure you have the right players on that team and that they're in the right positions, and that you know their skill sets and their behavioral styles and every other type of thing you need to know about them that allows you to make sure they're in the right position and being able to do it at their best.
And absolutely.
That, how else, what else would you add to that, Dave?
Well, I'll say that it's, we just really touched on just a real broad, high level. Cause you could look at even at somebody's behavioral style and you're like, that doesn't make sense based on their behavioral style. Mm. But you break down one, we're all a mix of all four to some degree, mm-hmm. some more prominent than others, but also there's things that are drivers for us that are driving forces that are motivators for us.
That's right. Another part of that.
And it's kind of analogous to these behavioral styles are observable behavior. It's like the waves on the ocean. I go down to the beach, I can see the waves, but what mm-hmm. I can't necessarily see is that undercurrent.
That's right.
So that'll take you back. That's way more powerful than the little bit of waves that are on there, you know, under normal circumstances.
And what we're talking about there, of course, is their motivators, things that motivate them. Maybe it's their emotional quotient, things that they are able to process emotionally. Maybe it's their ability to handle stress. That's another quotient that is all part of that picture that you're looking at when you see your team member in front of you. So very important.
So there's a lot more to it than just this, but mm-hmm. it's one of those things that we just at least wanted to give everybody an idea of, hey, there are different ways of looking at the world and there are different ways of how people respond to things. And you as a leader should educate yourself on not just be very self-aware, for, you know, what's your level of emotional intelligence? What's your level of, like you said, how you handle stress and what are the things that really drive you and your kind of behavioral style, but how to take that communication. Mm-hmm. And now how do I adapt that? And it's not much of a, not as much of a golden rule thing, more of a platinum rule type thing. You know, I'm not treating you how I would want to be treated, i.e. I'm not communicating with you how I want to be communicated with. I'm communicating with you how you need to be communicated with. And I'm trying to meet you in the middle.
Yeah.
And when you add empathy to that, and I'm really trying to make sure that I'm taking my message and communicating to you in that manner that you want to be communicated with, that's pretty powerful. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And it gets you a whole lot farther than just saying, here's the three bullet points, go forth and make it done. Because there's some people that they're just not wired like that. And the sooner we realize that, and we can kind of learn and adapt, I think the better off we're all going to be.
Okay. Great, Dave.
All right. Well, that wraps up this episode of Business Smarts Radio with Tom and Dr. Dave, where we bring you the clean approach to building a successful business. Like I said, this podcast is all about communication, leadership, engagement.
Engagement and no drama.
And no drama. Absolutely. So we will see you guys on the next episode of Business Smarts Radio. Take care. Mm-hmm.